Look there with me, Exodus chapter 1. We're going to read beginning with verse number 8. We'll read down to the end of this chapter, and then we'll read a couple of verses in chapter 2. Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there faileth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more that they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shaphra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing, and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now turn over to the last two verses of the next chapter. Chapter 2, verse 24. And God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Then the key verse is verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the son of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. In the process of time. In process of time. That's the key verse right there this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can be here in the house of the Lord today. And I ask, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts to the word of God. Help us today, Lord, to see your hand at work in our lives, Lord, in every circumstance, to see that you're at work, and we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most everybody's familiar with the fact that the first five books of the Old Testament were written by Moses. You know, the Bible is a miraculous book. It's a miraculous book. Moses wrote about the events leading up to his birth. And he even wrote in all the book of Genesis, all the detail of Genesis, Moses wrote. And how did he do that? Well, he was inspired of the Holy Ghost. He received the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so he was inspired as God spoke, Moses wrote. He was inspired and gave all the details of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All these things in God's word were written according to Romans chapter 14. All these things were written aforetime for our learning, that we might through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So all of these wonderful accounts that are given to us the Old Testament and even here in the book of Exodus were written for our benefit so that we would learn. There are spiritual truths, spiritual blessings that we can learn because of the word of God that's been provided for us miraculously. And we praise God for his word today. Now, this account gives the account of all of Joseph's family that came all the way from Canaan to join him in Egypt. God had arranged and allowed there to be a famine to bring all of Joseph's family to him, and they're reunited there. And God had, and through Joseph's suffering and betrayal and all that he went through, had positioned him in Egypt so that he could bring hope to his family and to all of Egypt. It was a wonderful, miraculous thing that God did in the process of time through Joseph's life and his good, high experiences and his sad and troubling experiences. God was at work to save his family, to save all of Egypt, and God positioned Joseph to do just that. But now there has been hundreds of years that have passed since they came down to Egypt. And now all of Joseph and all of his family, and even the Pharaoh that favored Joseph, they're all gone now. They've been dead for years. And it says that there rose a new king over Egypt that didn't know Joseph. There was no memory of Joseph or anything. It was all gone. All the favor, the blessing, everything was gone. And the new king in Egypt only sees the children of Israel as a threat. They're growing. They're multiplying. They are becoming mighty and strong. And he sees them as a threat. And so he says, let's deal wisely with them. Or let's deal shrewdly with them. And make sure that even though that they are big and great and mighty in number, we can limit their power and we can literally beat them down. And so he appointed taskmasters and made them slaves to humiliate them and to afflict them. And those are the things that are happening to them. Their taskmasters afflicted them. It says that they caused them to serve with rigor. The word there literally means to break them. Served with rigor, to break them down, to weaken them, to destroy them in their strength. It also says that their lives were bitter with hard bondage. The slavery and all that they are going through, it's so difficult. It's such hardship. It's so severe, the things that they are going through. And it's almost as if God and everyone has forgotten that they even exist. And they're just suffering in the things that they're facing. They're forgotten. They're afflicted. They are bitter. It's harsh. It's unfair. They're serving with rigor to break them and to destroy them if possible. All these things are happening to the people of God, the children of Israel. And I know that I would say that there's not anyone here that's faced that severe of trials in your life. But these things were written for us as an example, for us to understand that God is at work in our lives no matter what you might be facing. No matter what the trial is, no matter what the struggle is that you're facing, God is at work. And he's in work in the process of time. You see, we can look at this and we see this story from the beginning to the end. But they were right in the middle of it. They were suffering. They felt like that they were forgotten. They felt like that no one saw the sorrow and the bitterness of the trial that they were in. But you and I, because we can see the story now from this perspective, we read it from the beginning to the end, and we recognize that they do come out of this situation, that they are delivered from their bondage, and they go out, as the scripture says, with a high hand or with great victory, overcoming the situation that they were in. But it's hard for us to see that, isn't it? We are going through it. It's only in the process of time that we really understand what God is doing and how he is working. But let me just give you three things from this account here. First thing is that God knows what's going on in your life. God knows what's happening. Amen. Nothing that you are facing today catches God by surprise. God knows what's going on. You have not been forsaken. You have not been forgotten. God knows all about your pain, your struggles, your worries, the things that are overwhelming to you today. Whatever it is, God knows. As a matter of fact, God knew that they were going to face this hundreds of years before they faced it. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. It says, he spoke unto Abraham and said, know of a surety that thy seed, talking to Abraham, like 500 years before this happened, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance. Praise God. God knew hundreds of years before that it was going to happen. And God let Abraham know it's going to happen, but I'm going to bring them out with great substance, with great victory. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today, especially some of you that may be in a tough time right now. You're facing some tough situations. And if you're not in the middle of a trial right now, well, don't fear. They'll come. Trials will come. We all go through them. We all face times where we're questioning, God, where are you? Why are you allowing these things to happen to me? What's going on, Lord? I don't understand. Just be encouraged today to know that God knows what you're up against. Even though you don't know how it's going to end, God sees it from the beginning all the way to the end. And for the people of God, we have great confidence that God sees and knows what's going on in our lives. Praise God. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, Psalm of David, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings, mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth my path and by lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my mouth, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Do you understand that he knows everything about you? He knows everything about your life from the beginning, from where you were born, and all down through the years, every event of your life, God knows all about it. And because you belong to him, God is faithful. God's going to bring you through. He'll give you hope. He'll give you victory even in the midst of the struggles of your life. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. From the beginning to the end,
He knows all about your life, every detail of the circumstances. He even knows the words that are going to come out of your mouth even before you speak them. Amen. Amen. Be encouraged to know today that God knows what's going on, and you are not forsaken and you are not forgotten. Praise God. He knows exactly what's going on in your life, and you can put your trust in the Lord. Even in the hard times, even in the suffering, even in hardship, no matter what you are faced with today, I just want to encourage you today, put your trust in the Lord. God's eyes are upon you. Praise the Lord. Now you may be wondering, well, Lord, if you know my life and you know all about it, then why are you allowing me to go through these things? Well, we need to be reminded that we live in a fallen world, and in a fallen world, there's going to be troubles. There's going to be tribulation. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You may face it. You may be facing it even this morning. You may be full of questions. Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand what all this is that I'm facing right now. But our confidence today is in the Lord, because he knows what's going on. Amen. God knows. Number two, God is working. God is working. In the process of time, God is working. Amen. You don't see it right now. You can't see the hand of God. You can't see how that God could use the circumstance that you are in to accomplish any good thing in you. But just be comforted today to know that God is at work in the process of time. You're going to come to the end of this situation, and you're going to look back and you're going to see, Lord, you were with me all the way through that trying time. You were faithful to me through it all. It says here in Exodus 1 and 12, that the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're a child of God, and you don't have to be defeated and destroyed and torn down, broken down, as the word rigor there means to break down, to destroy. That doesn't have to be what happens. God can use the adversity and the struggle that you're in a process of time to accomplish some good things in you. Amen. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Just remember, in your life, if you're a child of God, whether it be a season of, you know, blessing and good, or if you're going through a troubling, difficult, challenging time right now, God is always working. God is always up to something. He is always moving. Even in your darkest trials, you may not see the hand of God, but the hand of God is at work. In the most difficult struggles, in the greatest times of hardship that you might be in, God was maturing them. God was multiplying them. Amen. Glory to God. We can't always see what God is doing, but just be assured this morning that God is at work, and he's going to do some good things. He's going to accomplish some good things in your life, even through the struggles. Amen. Just think of it this way. They're crying and they're groaning. The scripture says, in all the sufferings, serving with rigor, and all the things they were going through, but then they'd go home at night and they'd lay down in the bed completely exhausted, worn out, beaten down, and then they'd hear the cry of a baby on the other end of the camp. And that was a reminder to them, there's still life. God's still multiplying. God's still working. God's still moving. He's still sending the blessing of new life into the camp. And God had positioned them and was providing for them. I mentioned that God brought them out of Canaan to Egypt. They were actually delivered. God delivered them from Canaan through the trial that they were in. Canaan was full of idolatry, and God wanted them out of that. And you might say, well, Egypt was just as bad as Canaan. They had all their religions, and actually that whenever they commanded that babies be, those little boy babies be murdered, and they were actually sacrificing them to their gods. They worshiped the Nile River. And by throwing the babies into the Nile River, it was a part of their heathenistic worship. And so Egypt was a bad place too. So why would God position them down in Egypt? You remember that God provided through the Egyptian Pharaoh a region there of Egypt called Goshen for them. He separated them from the rest of the Egyptians. Why did he do that? Well, he used their pride and their arrogance to accomplish his plan. Genesis 46 and verse 34, that you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. The Egyptians were so proud that they thought that all of the cattle keepers and all the shepherds, they wanted to be separated from them. And God used the pride of the Egyptians to separate them so that they were in an area called Goshen, and God protected them and separated them even in the land of Egypt. Praise God. God put them there. Amen. Why? So that he could work in their life in the process of time. So that he could multiply them in the process of time. So that he could mature them in the process of time. As he would work on that nation and bring them to the place. So just understand that even in your great trials and your great hard times that you might face from time to time, God's at work in the middle of that too. God's in the middle of it. You say, does God bring these trials our way? No, I'm not suggesting that all of these sufferings and things come from the Lord necessarily, but God can use them, and he does use them. He uses our sadness, our sorrow. He uses our troubles, our problems, our struggles. He uses them to grow us, to multiply us, to advance us, and to prepare us and to make of us, just as he did the children of Israel, a mighty nation. Praise God. You see, when they came that first, when I didn't read that as a part of the text, but you read the first several verses there of Exodus chapter 1, and it details the names of all of Joseph's family. When they came down to Egypt, there were 70 of them. Now it's been 400 years. It says that there are, when they leave Egypt, when they're delivered from Egypt, that they have 600 men on foot, 600,000 men rather, that are on foot. That means that doesn't count the women and the children. So there's 600,000 men that are capable of fighting, footmen. And but then you add all the women and all the children, there's at least 2 million, some estimate as many as 3 million that were a part of the Exodus out of Egypt. And God is multiplying and growing and maturing a nation. All those many years of servitude and struggle that they're in, God is strengthening them. He's preparing them for all the things that he has for them if they will only obey God. Amen. And so is God using your trouble, your trials, your struggles to grow you, to mature you, to develop you into what he wants you to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. What happens when you go through really difficult times? Well, you're reminded of how weak you are. You're reminded of how dependent you are upon the Lord. Amen. When things are going along smooth, we get self-sufficient. We think we can do it all on our own. But when you go through the trial of your life, you find yourself stripped down and you no longer are self-sufficient or reliant, but you become dependent upon the Lord. Praise God. So there are some good things that happen when we go through trying times and the Lord prepares us. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save us such that be of a contrite spirit. Praise God. Amen. We've all experienced it. I've experienced it going through trials of faith, going through tough and difficult times, maybe in your health, maybe in your finances or your family or whatever. We've all gone through tough and difficult times, but all through these experiences, God is still working in you. God is still maturing you. He's still growing you. He's developing you into something that he wants to make out of you if you'll just allow him to do what he wants to do. Praise God. In the process of time. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God knows. Number two, God is working. Number three, God hears. God hears. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes you think God is silent, but know that God's silence does not mean that God is indifferent to your needs. It does not. You may go through a season where you feel like, I can't get through. I can't seem to hear from God. I'm praying, but I don't seem to hear from the Lord. But God hears. And he heard the cry of the children of Israel. In their bondage, in their sufferings, God heard their cry and delivered them from the cry of their hearts. God Verse 24, chapter 2, God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God knows what's going on in your life, and God is working in the experiences, even the struggles, and God hears your cry. God hears your cry. Hallelujah. Just keep waiting on the Lord. Just keep trusting God. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Just keep trusting him. God's at work. He is hearing every prayer you have prayed. Every prayer. He's hearing your prayers. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Hallelujah. Folks, sometimes you have to wait patiently on the Lord. You just have to keep coming and keep trusting and keep believing. God has not forsaken you or forgotten you. He hears your cry. Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Hallelujah. God hears. Amen. God hears your cry, your groanings, your trouble, your struggles, whatever that they might be. God knows what you're up against, and he sees it. He knows about it. He's working in it. And God will hear the cry of his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we just give him praise this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you know where we are. You know what we're going through. You're working in the middle of it all, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You're developing us. You're maturing us. You're growing us, Lord, into what you want us to be. And we thank you for that. Glory be to God. And you hear the cry of your children. Praise God. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Amen. I just want to take this